sexually oriented content. Content. Listener discretion is advised. Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew. Loveline, coast to coast.
Hey, it is Loveline. I'm Dr. Drew. The phone number here on Loveline is 1-800-LOVE-191. I am the board-certified internist and addiction medicine specialist. Doesn't roll off my tongue quite so nicely. Adam Carolla will be here in just a second. You know him as the creator of the Crank Anchors, host of Man Show. What he used to call himself? Philosopher Warrior? We haven't heard that in a few years. Oh, years. I'm scary to think it's been that many years. Be that as it may, he'll be here in just a second. So I'm going to knock off a few calls here in the glorious silence without Mr. Carolla in just a second here. He'll be back. Michelle is 50. Michelle?
Yes.
Hey, what's going on there?
I was talking to my friends, and we were arguing about whether prostate cancer is related to gays.
How would that work exactly?
I don't know. We were thinking the prostate had something to do with they check your prostate up your...
Right. That's how, as a doctor, we put our finger up there to see if there's a tumor, right?
Right.
Right. And but what in the world would being gay have to do with prostate cancer?
Well, they're always sticking something up there. Well, I don't know.
Yeah.
We were thinking that might irritate it.
Do you have any other strange thoughts? Any other ideas you'd like to share with us tonight?
Well, there was one night I was listening to you guys, and you were saying that using water for like a water shower massager for getting off or having an orgasm.
Right.
I was wondering, would that hurt the woman? Because like when you go to water jets in a hot tub, you're not supposed to leave it in one place for very long.
All right. Not such a bizarre question. Let me answer your questions in order. First of all, prostate cancer has nothing to do with sexual orientation, okay? Prostate cancer is a cancer like any other cancer. It's not associated with prostate infections, prostatitis, inflammation of the prostate, use of your prostate, over-sexualized, under-sexualized. It's a cancer, and it's caused by carcinogens and genes. In terms of using the water spigot to masturbate, not such a bizarre thing, not as bizarre as your idea of men getting prostate cancer because of their sexual orientation and being in proximity of penises. Women do that and it works. Now, the reason it's advised not to put yourself near a jet like in a jacuzzi is you can push kind of hard and cause a urinary tract infection. So that's why. Good times. That's why they sort of advise against that. Amber, 21, what's going on?
Hi, Drew. How are you doing?
Hi, Amber. Long time since I've seen you. What's going on?
Not much. Well, all right, here's the deal. I crave sugar. I love sugar. I love it.
I do too.
And I was wondering if there's any kind of vitamin or supplement or anything.
No.
No?
No. Here's the deal, though. You're not addicted to alcohol or opiates or anything like that, are you?
No. Thankfully, I don't have that addictive gene in me. But.
Hallelujah. Although you got it when it comes to sugar. When people stop using alcohol, they will often crave high carbohydrate and high fat foods. They're like bacon and things like that.
Yeah.
And like a night after a binge, people want to eat bacon and that sort
of
thing.
Yeah, I personally don't like alcohol. It just tastes disgusting.
All right. Well, just this for everybody else, not just for you, Amber. And then when people stop using opiates like heroin, like Vicodin, like Norco, they crave sugar. My patients, when I go to see them, like a heroin addict, I'm detoxing their bedside.
Uh-huh.
Looks like they've taken like a pillowcase after a wild night of trick-or-treating and just emptied it. They have candy all over the bedside always because they crave sugar.
Diabetes also runs in my family.
That doesn't necessarily have anything to do with this. I'll tell you what you can do, though. If you start eating a lot of sugar, you'll raise your insulin levels and sort of create a cycle where the insulin goes up, drops your blood sugar, you get more craving for sugar. Some of it's just your genes. You sort of are gratified by sugar in some way, but some of it's the fact that you're eating a lot of sugar. So if you moderate the sugar, take more complex carbohydrates, balance with protein, don't eat the concentrated sweets, some of that craving will settle down. I know it's hard not to. And once you get sort of into that cycle, you just keep going. But I know you love it, but try just to do it on special, very special occasions. Tim, 24.
Hey.
Hey, what's up?
Well, I was in a discussion yesterday with a buddy or friend or whatever, and we were discussing whether or not you can OD on pot. And
well, what do you mean by OD?
I mean like, you know, overdosing or dying or whatever.
You can't die from... I've never heard of anybody dying from taking too much pot.
Me either, but, you know...
But you can have a seizure.
Okay.
I guess you could secondarily have a seizure and fall and have a complication that way.
But that would be more like long-term effect, wouldn't it?
No, you can have a seizure from a huge ingestion, but I don't know of any. You can't stop. You don't stop breathing. You don't.
Right.
That kind of thing.
Right.
No, no.
Because I heard like, well, I know with alcohol you can get alcohol poisoning and liver damage, and
you can die. You can overdose and die of alcohol ingestion.
Right.
You can stop breathing.
Right. But I've never heard of anybody overdosing on pot.
No, I've never heard of it either. I've never heard of it either. This is Betty, who's 13.
Yeah.
Lots of medical questions here. Do you guys do this on purpose so I could be fun, have fun here without Adam? He'll be here in just a second. I know those of you that just love Mr. Kroll and write your name on his name on your shoes and stuff. I'm missing him, but okay. All right, Betty, go right ahead.
Okay.
All right.
Huh?
Go ahead.
Oh, okay.
This is where you talk.
Well, I have this thing about if I look at needles or I get shots or I look at blood, I tend to faint.
You look at the what?
Needles.
You look at the needles, you faint.
Yeah, or I get the shot and then I faint.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I'll go get my hepatitis shot.
Why do you get, you mean the last hepatitis B vaccine or something?
Yeah.
Or do you have hepatitis and you're getting treatment for it?
No, you know, the shots you have to get.
The vaccine.
Medical.
The vaccine, yeah. All right.
And once I get it, mm-hmm. I mean, I don't mind the needle.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, after about a few seconds, if I stand up or, you know.
You pass out.
Sit up, I tend to faint.
Mm-hmm. It's called a vasovagal reaction. And some people are just real sensitive that way. They swoon. And various things can trigger it. Needles are one of those things. Having sort of your body intruded upon by a needle triggers all sorts of hormonal and neurologic reactions, and it slows your heart down. And nothing really you can do except wait it out. You got to lie down for 10 or 15 minutes after you have a shot, no matter what. And just expect that to happen. That is just you. Justin, 15.
Hi.
Hi.
Drew, you deserve more money for this.
Really? Putting up with Adam, right?
Huh?
Just for putting up with Adam.
Yeah.
God
but
bless you.
I love Adam, too.
Yeah, easy. Oh, no. Tell me more about how I should be paid more than Adam should.
You should be paid a lot more. Like,
God bless you.
Like triple.
Oh, yes.
Double.
Okay, I'm going to put you on hold.
All right.
And then when Adam comes back, we're going to talk some more. But yeah, go ahead and ask your question now.
All right. I love you, Drew.
Oh, Justin.
You're the best.
Okay. Get this guy's home phone number, call him every night. So what's the deal?
All right. My girlfriend, we're really close, and we've been on it for like maybe a year and about maybe a few days. And whenever like she comes over and hangs out, she's always cool. She's like the best. But then when like whenever we're at school or she's around her friends, she's always mean to me. She'll like make fun of me.
Drew, hang on, Justin, hold on. We've been Justin and I were having a little moment here. Adam, relax. But tell
hey,
me again,
buddy.
Justin. Wait. Sorry. Tell me again, Justin.
Drew deserves to be paid more than you, Adam.
Oh yeah.
Are you high?
How much more, Justin? How much?
How Triple. High are you?
How much? No.
Triple.
Oh. Adam, look what you walked in on. What else? Keep going, Justin. Go ahead.
Yeah, you both deserve to be paid.
No, hey, whoa, yeah. Justin, wait a minute. I thought we were having a little moment here, you and I.
Oh yeah, I love Drew.
Okay, got yeah. Here we
yeah.
go. Yeah.
Let me tell you Drew's retarded logic with the payment. He's like, I'm a doctor. I have 20 years of college under my belt. I deserve to be paid. And what do I always say, Drew? Who makes more money?
Yeah. Seinfeld or the guy in the ER?
Who makes more money? That's right. Letterman or the guy who works down the hall from you, Indian guy with the stethoscope and the tongue depressors. All right. Drew, why are all Indians, why are they all doctors?
Because in India, unlike in the United States, that is considered one of the loftiest professions. It's the most respected professions. And so all the kids grow up wanting to do that. Then they come here. Because they'll be a better life, and then they're treated like crap when they get here. It's good times.
All right.
So Justin has a girlfriend who's mean to him when he goes to school. She's great when he hangs out, right?
Yeah.
But at school, she's a pain.
Yeah.
Give me an example of what she does to you.
All right. Well, she'll come out of her classes and she'll be really like ticked off at her teachers or something like that. She's like a really smart girl, so she's in like AP this and honors that, just like you were probably, Drew.
Yeah.
And She'll be really angry at the teacher. She'll yell at me. Her parents are divorced. They'll be mean to her. She'll yell at me when she gets to school.
But she doesn't do that when she's hanging out at your house.
No, not at all. And I just don't understand it.
Do you have sex?
No.
All right, you're done. You're done.
She's 15.
How long have you
He's
been
15.
With her?
He's 15.
I've been with her for a year now.
15.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Have you told her about this? Have you asked her to be a little nicer?
Like numerous times. Like, countless.
You know, she may just be one of these people that when she has awful feelings, has to sort of put them out of herself into someone else. She has to externalize them. She either has to act them out, she either has to sort of act her anger and rage out, or she actually projects her feelings into you.
Yeah.
You're having the feelings that she's actually having. She sees them in you. And gets angry at you for having those feelings.
Yeah. And I've never been mean to her before.
Like, I know, but these are personality characteristics. And she may be depressed, and that may be all the irritability. And where you said her parents are getting divorced. I think, you know, 15 to have some personality quirks, not uncommon, and just kind of be supportive and put limits on things. To go so, you know, you'll take a certain amount of this, but at a certain point, go, hey, you know, I don't deserve that abuse. You seem angry. It's not appropriate. Cut it out. If she can't cut it out, get out of her presence. All right, Adam,
hey,
now
Drew,
you can go.
Drew,
ahead. Go.
Let me say this. First off, let me apologize to my legions of fans for being late.
Yeah.
I turned the wrong way when I got off the freeway and got a little spun about.
You were driving yourself or you had a cab?
I was driving myself, yes.
Whoa. And you,
yes.
You go the wrong way in Vegas and you could have driven 40 miles without even noticing it, right?
Yeah, the terrain goes by pretty quick and there's not a lot of landmarks, believe it or not, once you get outside of the strip. It all sort of looks the same. But let me ask you this, Drew.
Yeah.
I'm staying at the hotel, and you know when you turn on the TV at the hotel, it always turns on to the emergency channel?
Right.
Tells you what to do if there's a fire, a flood, whatever, at the hotel. Why is it in Japanese? I mean, initially. Why isn't it in the goddamn English? The Queen's goddamn English? You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Because here's what ends up happening. Oftentimes, you'll flick the TV on as you're passing it and heading to the bathroom kind of thing. You think it's going to be on CNN or something like that. It's always on the fire escape thing, and it's always in a language other than your own.
Yeah.
In Japan, is it always in English?
Yes.
I don't think so. I don't think so, Drew. I'm saying, here we're in Vegas. Shouldn't it be English? I mean, can't the Japanese find their own language?
Maybe.
Why do I have to change the channel?
Yeah, that's weird. Maybe the convention is different, you know, in terms of how people escape from buildings in Asian countries. No.
Yeah.
I mean, the fireplace. I don't know. Fire came from a different place.
No. Or... Yeah. No, it's true. In Asian cultures, they don't stop, drop, and roll. They actually climb up onto the ceiling.
See what I'm saying?
And go across it like Spider-Man.
Right.
What do you mean, how they get out of the buildings in Asian cultures? I'm just saying, put it in English.
Yeah.
That's all.
Right.
Let the Japanese find the Japanese.
Yeah, I'm with you.
That's all I'm saying. Thank you.
Good times.
Mm-hmm.
What else
do we got?
How you doing in Vegas?
Oh.
How'd the calls go today?
Yeah, it's good. Calls went good. Everything's good.
Anybody interesting?
Doing calls tonight Crank Yankers.
Yeah.
Dave Cross did calls, and I did calls.
Oh.
Dave Cross, Mr. Show... Done a lot of movies.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Bald guy.
Yeah.
Right, yeah, funny guy.
We were talking earlier. No one's on line six. Is that correct? Yes. Here is Zach, 717.
Hey, guys. It's cool to talk to you. My problem is I can't go to the bathroom in a public restroom.
Mm-hmm.
Pee shy.
Like I'll stand up at the urinal. I'll just get gun shy. Like, people will be next to me, you know, and I'll have to stop and just wait till I get home or something.
Great.
Yeah, this is like one out of every 10 guys.
What do you do if you really have to go? You're at a football game, you've been sucking down Coke or something.
Why am I at a football game?
What?
Why am I at a football game?
Because I imagine that would be the most... Because I think out here, I'll tell you why. Out here, that's the most challenging place to pee. Because in Southern California, you pee in troughs.
Oh, really?
Yeah, just big, long troughs with sort of water trickling down the back. Right, Adam?
Yeah. Zach, that doesn't answer your question as to why you're at the football game, though, does it?
Not really.
Why they said why a football game? Not why.
No, he wanted to know why he was at the ball game.
I see. Okay,
you're a big fan.
Curious,
that's why.
You pick a football game.
Well, if he would have said at the baseball game, you would have been curious why he didn't pick the football game, though, right?
You're at the zoo. You're at a public restroom, okay, with lots of people peeing.
Yeah.
All right.
World's dumbest callers.
I just can't go.
Yeah. Now, what if you really had to go and there was no chance to get home or anywhere quiet? What would you
do? Most of the time, I go in a urine or a stall and have to close the door by myself.
So it's
stand up and pee, and all my friends call me a pussy and stuff.
So it's the standing out in the open there that troubles you.
Yeah, pretty much.
Right.
Unless I, you know, if I have to go like semi bad, I can't go at all. But if I have to go, like, really, really bad, like you said, then I can go on a stall.
If you were, like, camping, could you go out in the woods?
Yeah, that'd be no problem.
All right, so it's the anxiety. So you have to be able to relax the bladder neck in order to pee.
Are you worried about people seeing your penis?
Ooh. Zach?
Yeah, in a way.
Something wrong with it? Something wrong with it?
Yeah, sort. Yeah, I just, I'm not real comfortable with them looking over and, you know, checking out my unit or anything.
What's the problem with it?
I don't know. I just don't feel comfortable having them do it.
But there's nothing wrong with your penis?
No, it's fine. It's in good shape.
Do you, work it out every day?
Low mileage.
Do you check out other guys when you're out in there peeing?
Yeah, sneak a peek.
And what do you and what are you thinking about?
Mm-hmm.
Just trying to pee, basically.
No, I mean, when you check out other guys' junk, what do you?
No, nothing homosexual or homoerotic.
No, I know, I understand that. But are you thinking, are you comparing yourself? Do you feel less than, more than? What's?
Oh, yeah, you know, just compare.
All right, listen, this goes away.
Yeah.
This goes away. Because as you get, each year that passes and you get closer and closer to the grave, you just care less. And this is why, you know, when you get in your 80s, you're lying there and some 25-year-old, 300-pound black chick is wiping your ass and you're just reading a Time magazine. You just don't care. Am I right, Drew?
Yeah.
Like the whole, all this modesty. When is modesty at its peak?
Oh,
16,
like
15.
Yeah, my kids are getting into it too. They also, like 10, 12 year olds have no sort of objectivity about it. You know, it really bothers them. They haven't yet gotten to go into the showers and the gym, or they can't handle that yet.
Yeah, modesty is sort of at its peak when you have the least to worry about.
Yeah,
I mean, you look the best nude, and the body functioning is all in place.
No hair in your ass.
No hair, no weird, you don't have like weird pock marks on your ass. Your nuts aren't hanging down onto the asphalt. You know what I mean? You don't get that weird little male belly punch pouch thing going down or any of that stuff.
And strangely enough, there's no impulse at that age to put your foot up on the bench that runs down the middle of the locker room.
Right, nude when you're at the Y and you're in your 70s.
That's
balls
when you got
are swinging around.
That's when you got
like
to put
a Merchant Marines.
What is
sack.
That? That's when your foot goes up.
I don't know, but you just don't you don't care when you're older. And I think that's why I think these guys like Zach will grow out of this.
I think you're probably right. This is John, who's 20. John.
Yeah.
There you go.
Drew?
Came on. What's up?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Hey, I got a little problem. I'm with this girl, and she's my fiance, right? And we've been together about, you know, 3 years. And I'm cheating on her with this girl, and I really like this girl, but, I mean, I'm not sure, like, if I should, like, break up my fiance to be with this girl, or it's just, like, some fling that I'm, you know, enjoying right now, or because I'm young, you know?
Do you want to...
How long you been with the girl you've been cheating on? Well, how long you been with both of them? How long with the fiance?
Well, I've been with the fiance for 3 years, and I've been cheating on her for about 8 months.
Maybe you just don't want to get married. Maybe you're just sort of finding a reason to...
That's what I'm thinking, you know, that's what it is, but it's like... I mean, I'm in love with, you know, my fiance right now. That's why I asked her to marry me. But then again, you know, I met this girl, and we just, like, totally hit it off. And I'm not sure it's just because it's fling, you know. I mean, because I'm young, and, you know, I'm just doing...
Now, hold on.
What?
Fling is not, you know, this is coming on to a year.
Yeah,
that's
I mean...
not a fling.
Right. Women have a fling before they get married commonly, and it's sort of a one-time or couple-time thing just before. Men, when they have a relationship or an ongoing preoccupation before they get married, it's because they're flipped out and don't really want to get married and are sort of trying to seek refuge in this relationship or have a reason not to get married. You're 20. It's okay not to get married. It's fine.
How often do you...
Okay, let's say I decide not to get married. I don't think I'm a mean guy, and I don't know exactly how to tell her, you know, like, hey, I'm cheating on you and I want to, you know...
Well, that'll end the marriage right there, so unless... Oh, some of these women will just get mad at the girl, you know, Adam? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Is she a Latina gal?
Well, yeah.
What's her nationality?
Who, hers?
Yeah.
She's Mexican. She's, you know, Latina.
Yeah. She's going to get mad at the chick, not you. That's the beauty of the Mexicans. They're sharp that way. Jew would never do that.
Oh,
not in a billion years. They go right for the guy's nuts. Ironically, the guy's too scared to cheat, so it never really presents itself. But the Latina chicks and the black chicks go after the chick, not the guy.
But I think the die is cast. However you do it, get out. Just don't get married. Give yourself another 5 or 6 years anyway. Whether you want to continue the relationship with this new girl, it's probably not the healthiest thing either, but it's clearly you're not ready to get married.
You're going to wonder how he's pulling this off. I mean, he's been with this girl for 8 months.
Do you want to hear about it?
And his fiance? No.
We could paint the, we could paint us what?
I just, you know, when I say you got to wonder, that doesn't mean I need to know.
We could paint, you know,
just,
the narrative.
That's just a coining a phrase there. I'm not really interested.
We know who the girl is that's with the guy who's not available because he's got a fiance. And if that relationship goes on, she's going to sabotage that one when he leaves his fiance. So it's great. Great situation.
All right. Drew, you're fired up tonight. Well, you take a nap?
No, you let me do a little work on my own. That's nice.
Oh, yeah, because usually we start the show off with me elbowing and waking you up like your Uncle Joe who's fallen asleep on the porch of the Shady Rest Junction.
On the Petticoat contrary. Junction, on the contrary, it's you
but
going.
But now you had to carry the show at the beginning, and you're fired up. Well, it's like you're starting.
You going, hey, what'd you do tonight? Drink some coffee? Shut up. And then when I shut up, then you go, hey, you're asleep. See? You're like Uncle Joe again.
No.
That's the dynamic.
No. It's
yes.
Just we get a chicken there, and Drew comes to life. And I'm just not ready for that. That's he's a passionate man.
I have a request of our listeners. I've got to do a Good Morning America piece on Monday morning, and they're doing a thing about robo-tripping, dextromethorphan use, and they're looking for kids, you know, young adult, adolescent age, in the New York City area who have done this, have some experience with it. They're willing to talk about it on camera. So if you would call Loveline tonight. Brian, are you hearing this? We're going to be looking for calls from the New York City area about the use of robo-tripping, you know, Robitussin, dextromethorphan, Corsetin, and people having experience with that. I want to get their name and number and put them on Good Morning America Monday morning if they're interested.
Where are you going to be? You going to be in New York?
Yeah, I'll be in New York. I'll see you Monday night.
All right, buddy. When are you flying out?
Sunday.
Hey, good times.
Good times.
All right, let's take ourselves a little break, yes?
Yes.
We'll be right back for more Loveline after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That is Dr. Drew. I'm in Las Vegas tonight. Dr. Drew back home in Los Angeles. And our guest, well, our guest is the love that the two hosts find between each other. Yes, Drew?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But don't say it, Adam, as though we find it each and every time we're alone. It's always,
no.
It's always there.
It's there, but...
In fact, what do you mean?
Well, it's sometimes it's diluted.
How dare you?
Oh, Drew. Drew, who do you got lined up for us?
Let's see. This is... David is 25. You know, I realized tonight there's a television show I watch every week. I was just telling you, I watch Scrubs every week. It's such an accurate rendition of what it's like to be a doctor and a resident. It's flipping me out. David, 25.
Yeah, hi. How you guys doing?
Good.
Good.
I just wanted you to know I love you guys. I've been listening to you forever.
And, thanks.
Adam, you're the funniest guy I know.
Thanks, buddy.
All right. Well, I was just wondering. I was with my ex for 5 years.
Yeah.
And about 6 months before I broke up with her, she told me she had herpes. She got herpes.
During the relationship she got it?
Yeah, during the relationship.
How'd that happen?
Oh, that's what I'm trying to find out, because she said I gave it to her, and we did have unprotected sex basically the whole 5 years. I mean, she was on the pill, but I didn't use a condom. Mm. So I was actually wondering, you know, if herpes can actually be dormant for that long and actually pop up, or is it, you know, we did have a breakup, you know, a year, actually 4 years, you know, our last year we had a breakup, and we were wondering if that it happened there or if it actually could be dormant.
No, it probably happened during the breakup. And okay. Women can have it for a long time and not know it. So
right.
That's a possibility. It's not so much that it's dormant, but it's that you just don't not really aware of what the symptoms are okay. And don't really recognize them. The other thing is oral sex can transmit herpes down there.
I noticed, not on myself, but more so on her, that she has a lot of the cold sores, like, you know, on her lip and stuff. And
yeah.
I was just, you know, I don't know if it was that, if it was, you know, if it was me, but I just didn't know if you can have sex with someone for that long unprotected, and all of a sudden, 3-4 years later, hello, you know, here we got herpes.
Pretty hard to do that. I think we have to argue that it was that 1 year, that last year after the breakup.
We just assume the worst.
Yeah, of course.
Is David, but does David have herpes? I didn't get that part.
No, I don't think he does. David, you don't have herpes, do you?
Well, I've never been checked out, but I don't have any signs of it.
Yeah, it's sometimes guys can carry it and not know it, too, but probably he doesn't have it, I bet. I used to carry
herpes in the glove box of my Camaro.
Good times.
Just in case I broke down.
Yeah.
Hey, can you, is there any kind of like herpes DNA matching? I mean, would
That's
herpes
a great
on
idea.
You
yeah.
be...
No,
is it?
There are different types of herpes virus. Yeah, for sure. But people don't do that right now to try to detect where it was coming from. I'm not seeing that. That's a great idea. I've not seen that. That's probably terribly expensive. Aaron, 20.
Hi.
Hey.
Hey, guys.
We're good.
Hey. This is kind of a strange thing, but last month, me and my guy were 69ing. We've been dating for a while, and so it wasn't a big deal to us, but it kind of concerns me. Like, when I came, I peed on him.
One time?
Yeah.
Or regularly?
Yeah.
One time.
Yeah.
Was he underneath you?
Yeah.
Underneath, yeah. like...
In the 69.
Yeah, but yeah. Underneath, you like, she was standing over him?
He was the six. No, they're 69ing.
I get it. I get it. All right.
You think standing 69?
No, I don't know. I don't know.
No, we were on the bed.
Side by side. You sure you didn't just have a ejaculation?
Yes. Yes, I'm positive.
You're positive you peed?
Yeah.
All right.
And Drew, what percentage of 69ing is the guy on the bottom? I suspect at least 69% of the time. More than half.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. Well, there's also side by side.
Oh, there's the toppled 69.
Yeah, yeah.
That's sort of reverse spooning, right?
Yeah, which is a pretty high percentage of what goes on, I suspect.
Really?
Yeah, sorry, Adam.
Little window into Drew's sex life there. So that's not my move, that one.
I understand it's a window into your sex life. Quite an image here.
Well, let me tell you something. 69 is out the window, speaking of the window, after you get into a long-term relationship.
Right.
You don't dust off that 69 very often.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, maybe anniversaries or religious holidays, but it's not a weekly maneuver, that 69.
That's good times.
You know what I'm saying?
I feel you.
So did you douse him pretty good?
No, it wasn't too bad. He didn't get any in his mouth or anything, so it was all right. And he
was
cool with it. We laughed.
Oh, he was good.
Shower.
Were you orgasming when it happened?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's female orgasmic incontinence. And, you know, I really think guys, when you produce something, guys are pleased. Proud.
Yeah.
Look what I did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but it scares me. Like, I feel like I'm afraid now, you know, that, like, what if that happens again, you know?
It didn't bother him that time. You know what?
Yeah, but me, though.
God, this, again, is different between men and women. If a guy, one nut could explode and he'd still wouldn't be scared, you know what I mean? He wouldn't even be thinking about it. Adam?
Right. Although he would only have one nut left,
yeah,
and you'd probably want to watch out for it.
You
but
know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying. If the girl didn't have a problem with it.
Right.
But ironically, the girl would have a problem with it, so now we're back at square one.
Right.
But maybe Aaron is worried about with different guys down the road.
Ask her.
Maybe Aaron?
Yeah.
Are you committed to this guy?
Yeah, pretty committed.
So you're not worried that it's going to happen to someone else later? That's not the issue.
No, that's definitely not my concern.
This guy's cool with it.
Well, he was all right with it. I mean, I don't think he really enjoyed it, but
it's a novelty that would wear off pretty quickly, I have to admit. I mean, as a guy.
Yeah.
Drew, wouldn't you, especially if you're like me and you're a smoker and, you know, you like to barge off a square when you're engaged in the 69. The last thing you need is to be hit with that douse of urine,
yeah.
Now, especially if you just lit up.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
I had another comment for you guys.
Yeah?
It was about last night's caller, and I think you guys might have missed something, and or maybe you just didn't dive into it deep enough. I think her name was Sarah. I don't know. But she was the one who called about the guy who kind of raped her, but she was drunk.
Right. And she kept saying that she did. She didn't say no. And it was,
Yeah, yeah. And that, I have basically the exact same story. And I know I have a victim issue, and I don't know if it's from that or if it's not, and I don't have any clue, like, what else it could be from, but I think there's something there.
What are you asking?
Oh.
Because we got into whether she'd been victimized previously, what her history was growing up, whether she'd been physically abused, why she froze, that sort of stuff.
So do you not think that she was victimized then?
She was victimized, but we couldn't come up with any victim history with her, as though this was part of a victim.
Well, I think what Aaron is asking is, was she victimized? Quiet down.
I'm missing something in my own life.
But hold on, Aaron, shut up or I'll pee on you. Quiet. Listen, were you asking if she was victimized this most recent time when she fell asleep, or when she was drunk and sort of passed out, or you mean victimized as a young person?
No, I'm talking about when she had sex with this guy.
Yeah, see, Drew, that's what she meant.
Well, we said she was victimized this time.
Of course she was victimized, yes.
But we couldn't find any victim posture, any history of victimization.
Yeah, Aaron is you're giving Aaron too much credit here, Drew, because the way she couched the question was as if she had some insight to this, but she's really just saying we didn't treat her as a victim this time around.
I see.
And we did. I mean, we did say, hey, this is rape, but there wasn't anything she could do about it at this stage.
No,
and we started,
I understand that. I wasn't meaning to say that. I was just wondering, in my own life, if I made this situation into a rape when it wasn't.
Oh.
You know, and making myself into a victim. You know what I mean?
Usually, it doesn't happen that way very often. Usually what happens is someone kind of senses you're a good target, a good mark. They start coming on and overpowering you, and you freeze. That is someone who's been victimized in the past. You've been frozen as a child when you were overpowered. Freezing and dissociating is really the escape when there is no escape, and it's something you learn very young. And when you take that victim posture again, it can raise all kinds of feelings of shame and self-doubt, and even post-traumatic stress type reactions can follow, which this girl had. I mean, remember, she said it's been troubling her for a couple weeks afterwards. Mm-hmm. So it really depends, you know, it depends on the person and what their history has been.
All right, let's help the kids and free Aaron back up for peeing on her boyfriend.
Good times. Here is Katie, 24.
Hello.
Hi, Katie.
Okay, so Dr. Drew?
Yeah.
Okay, I plan on going to medical school, and I had my first experience with a cadaver the other day.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering, like, if it's normal kind of, like, to freak out a little bit at first. Like, I couldn't, like, just jump right in there and...
I think everybody freaks out. I was just telling somebody today, you know, when you go to anatomy lab at medical school, it's like 60 bodies. Just
right.
Just laid out all there. And at first, when we did our dissections, we started on the back. And so it's really like, it's like not really a person. It's just a back. But you kind of work your way around front, and then it gets a little freakier.
All right. And 60 bodies. You really got to pace yourself. You don't want to bust your nut like on the 28th and not be able to, you know, get to the later 40s and 50s, right?
Yeah, I wouldn't want you. I wouldn't want to see you disappoint the other 12.
Well, are they usually broken up like evenly between males and females in the corpse department?
That they're mostly females in our room, and
nice.
four medical students per cadaver, and that's your cadaver all year long.
Oh,
good time.
And can you take it home?
Parts.
Is it like Weekend at Bernie's?
Parts. And
no.
And
parts.
And what gets a little freaky, though, is, strangely enough, what flips a lot of people out, what actually troubled me, was when they leave a cloth over their hands and over
their
face.
Their head.
And when you see their hands, it gets a little, that looks so human, you're like, oh my God. And then the face, it's a little freaky.
Mm-hmm.
And by that point, you've been working on the body for like 3 months, so.
I have 1,000 questions now.
All right.
Okay, so you and your team of three people.
Yeah, four people, yeah. Plus three, yeah.
You and your team of three people.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we get nowhere on this show. You guys get your own body,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Your own cadaver.
Yeah.
Do you, now, if you're like me, you try to intentionally hook up with three Asians so you don't have to do so much work.
You're assigned.
You just sort of cheat off of their stuff. But I don't know if that was your plan or not.
You're assigned, yeah.
So you hook up with these three people. For 3 months, this is your cadaver.
12 months. Well, for like...
For a whole year.
Whole year, yeah.
Whole year.
And like 10 months, I guess it was.
And it goes back into the refrigerator when you're done?
The room is refrigerated. You just put
room's very cold.
You just throw a sheet of big plastic cloth over them, and then you go back down and study all the time.
So I mean, it becomes like I didn't make it to med school, but I was a ceramics major.
Yeah.
And like when you'd be done with your project for the day, but you weren't done with it completely, yeah, you'd put the plastic over the clay, yeah, so you could, you know, it'd be moist for when you got to it, yeah, next day.
Precisely. Katie's puking now. Katie's vomiting. Okay.
So these bodies don't break down and don't start decomposing just because of the refrigerated room?
No, they're pickled.
They're good.
They
for
are.
Year,
yeah,
so.
Yeah.
They have like formaldehyde,
yeah,
in them.
Yep.
Okay. And all the bodies, all the cadavers come out, and there's like 60 of them,
yeah,
and everyone is working on them,
yeah,
and you're all starting in the same place,
yes,
and working sort of small to big on the gore and grizzle sort of chart.
You just start in the back and work up to the shoulder and the chest and down the arm and to the hand. It's just, you work your way along.
So the cadaver's facing down when you get it?
Initially, yeah. I don't know if everybody's the same way.
And you start working on the back.
That's where I started, yes.
And what does that mean?
The shoulder and the scapular area, scapular muscles.
And you're looking at what? You're examining it?
You look at each muscle, where it starts, where it goes, what its function is, what nerve supply, where the nerves come from, and the arterial supply and the veins. You have to be able to identify every millimeter of the body.
And then...
If somebody cut a window into your shoulder and said, mm-hmm, what's here? I would have to be able to know what was there, what was nearby, what the nerves were doing, what the muscles are doing. You know,
right.
If I cut something, what would I have just cut and where was it going?
You would, but not me, because I'd hook up with the Asians.
That's right.
They would have to know, and then I'd just look at their paper.
I'm talking about you.
But then eventually the body flips over as the months wear on,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Now do you piece the body back together, or is it,
no,
it just look by, like it like a skunk that's been run over at a certain
by,
point?
By the end, because you're shredding, you know, you're dissecting millimeter by millimeter, it, you're sort of shredding it as you go, and by the end it's just a lump, just a pile.
And yeah, that's when you start getting into the organs,
yeah,
the heart, the brain, you're right, getting into the brain?
Brain is studied separately. Actually,
mm-hmm, yeah, mm-hmm. Is the head removed to study the brain?
They have separate brains, brain sections, and things.
And who are these people?
Katie, we're trying to help Katie, and she's having a panic attack.
I'm interested in this. Now,
I know.
These are,
we've been together how many years, and you've never ever brought this up. Even
you never brought it up, buddy.
Nothing about this. Go ahead. All right, keep going.
And these are just people who couldn't pay their hospital bill.
No,
who
people,
are
they,
these people?
They donate their bodies to the medical school.
Wow.
In fact, we did a skit. Well, but when the new first years came in, we were second year medical students. We said, we got up there, we said, you know, shortage of bodies this year, guys. You know, if any aunts, uncles kind of old and looking a little, you know, get their names and sign them up. And we did this whole thing where we came after their family members and, you know, we took out people's printed, you know, we had sort of shills in the audience asking goofy questions about, you know, can you do it if your mom's, you know, this age and has this disease?
Oh, I bet that was hilarious.
Very funny. Very funny.
Hey, Drew?
Yeah.
So, this is, I mean, and tell me if you feel this way. Like, I'm an atheist. I don't care if someone, you know, when I die, puts an M80 up my ass.
Yeah.
And packs me into a styrofoam cooler and sends me off of Venice Beach.
Yeah.
But I would feel weird about, like, being nude and having people, you know, cutting into me.
It
would not be something you would sign up for, would it?
Yeah, there is something a little bit sacred or sort of, know what it is about your body and having it sort of treated respectfully and carefully. And we did try to do that with the bodies. We really do. You realize these are somebody's family members, you know, you're carving on.
Do you name them?
Yeah, a lot of people did.
Did you have a name for yours?
Fred.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
Good times.
All right, let's take a break, Drew.
Let's do it. You want to keep talking?
Did we help Katie?
Katie, you all right?
I don't know if this is normal. Some people just went right in and went
no,
for it.
You're going to be fine. You just realize that it's going to take some time. A lot of people have anxiety about this and freak out. They, in fact, did a little coaching to some of the people. Mm-hmm. And again, they take you through it in a way that you acclimatize to it. All right?
Right. Okay.
You'll be fine.
All right, thanks.
Okay.
All right.
Good time.
We'll take a break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That is Dr. Drew. I'm in Las Vegas tonight. Dr. Drew back in Los Angeles. And phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Drew?
Yeah, and I'm contending with your headphone jack here. It's beautiful.
Why are you using my jack?
You mean,
you're in the command seat.
Of course. The man taking, seat.
Taking Captain Kirk's place at the bridge.
What can I say here? This is now Anna. 16.
Hey, what's up?
Hi, what's going on?
Okay. I've done DXM before.
Yeah.
And I was just wondering the side effects. Like,
well, as I said, I'm doing a piece for Good Morning America on Monday. Did you hear me talking about this, Adam?
Yeah, that's why.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, I did. Yeah.
And here, I've got some stuff sitting in front of me. Tachycardia, hypertension, lethargy, ataxia, slurred speech, confusion, hallucinations, abnormal movements, seizures, aspirations, a lot of weird stuff.
Really?
Typically hallucinations, vivid dreams, that
well,
sort of thing.
I never had hallucinations when I was on it, but lots of weird stuff happened.
Separation, out-of-body experiences.
Yeah, stuff like that.
Are people buying this, or are they ripping it off?
No, you just buy a big bottle of Dimetapp or whatever's got dextromethorphan in it.
Yeah, but the stuff isn't that cheap. I mean, it's like $9 for, you know, 3 or 4 ounces of it. I mean, if you're going to get into it, it seems like you got to start ripping it off at some point.
People don't really get addicted to it. That's what I'm kind of looking up right now. I've never seen dependency. It's kind of like LSD. They use it very occasionally.
So, is this... I'm always looking for a good stock.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, is this product moving now? Should I invest in this?
My wife tried to buy 3 bottles tonight for... Can we buy cold stuff for the kids? They wouldn't let her take it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you can only buy one at a time.
There's no discount for menopausal blonde chicks. I mean, no, they can't look the other way.
That's what she said. She said, for Christ's sake. But listen, what happened with you, Anna?
Oh, lots of stuff. I was like, I did it once, and then I didn't do it for like a couple days. And then I did it again, and I was on it for like maybe a week or so. Just like every day, just every few hours.
Well, how much do you take every few hours?
Oh, like a bottle. Like just drink a bottle or two.
How big a bottle? Is big bottles or a small one?
Like, I don't know. Like the smaller one, not like the really big one.
You did it every 2 hours for how long?
Maybe a week or so.
Wow.
That was a few months ago, though.
And what happened?
I don't really know how to explain it to you.
Did you get psychotic? Did you get start thinking strange things?
Yeah, it's kind of like you're not really high. I mean, you don't know you're high, but, like, when you think about it later, it's like, oh, my gosh, I was, like, really, really high, you know?
But did you drink 60 bottles of this stuff in the course of a week?
Something like that. I took a lot of it.
Wow.
Did you buy it all?
No.
You stole it?
Yeah.
This is what I'm talking about, Drew.
Yeah. What kind of thoughts were you having? What was happening that made you think you were high?
I don't know.
She didn't think she was high.
No, but I mean, she looked back and realized she was altered anyway.
Well, you kind of like, you lose your memory, so yeah. It's kind of like, you feel like a little kid.
Hmm.
So like, you don't remember anything. Like, if you look at a tree, it's like you've never seen it before. And you'll just stare at it for like a long time, and it's really kind of scary, but...
Do things seem novel to you, like new?
Yeah, exactly. It's like, if you eat something, it's like you've never had it before.
Right. So this is what the part of the brain called the amygdala that monitors for novelty. Problem with overstimulating that part of the brain is that then when you come off stuff, you can damage that part of the brain and things seem flat. Nothing's satisfying. Nothing's interesting.
Yeah. You get, like, after you're not high anymore, like, you go into, like, this state of mind where everything's, like, really good and really happy. And then after a few hours of that, everything's just, like, you feel like you want to die. It really, really sucks.
And so you start trying to chase that high again?
Yeah, and then you take it again just so...
And you're okay?
Just to get rid of it, you know, just to get rid of the bad.
Are you okay, or are you just sort of avoiding the bad, bad lows?
You just avoid the bad lows.
And then when you finally stop it, were you real depressed?
Oh, yeah.
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 And I know we're sort of examining you like you're one of the cadavers, but you got to do something about this. I mean, this speaks volumes about sort of what's going on with you psychologically. God knows what kind of injury you might have caused yourself through all this. We got to look into this. At very least, you're trying to manage some overwhelming feelings that should be managed in a much more safer and comprehensive way.
Adam. I had a problem with Asper gum when I was about 9.
Really? What happened?
Yeah. Well, you know, my mom was a health food nut.
I thought it was Asper cream you were getting into.
No, it's that gum. Tastes like orange gum.
Yeah.
Yeah. And my mom is a health food nut.
Right.
So there's nothing but like 45 grain bread and unblanched, unsalted peanut butter.
Right.
And now everything in the house tasted like fried hell.
Yep.
And the only decent thing in the goddamn house was that Asper gum.
Mm.
I used to chew on that, you know, try to make the pain go away.
Ugh.
Try to forget. Mm-hmm.
Horrible. Horrible.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's fertile soil for becoming a comedian, though. All right, let's go to break, huh? Good times.
Yeah. Not that fertile.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, that's it? We're going to break again?
Yeah.
Christ. Where's the time go? All right. We'll be right back after this. It's the Love Line. I'm Adam. That is Dr. Drew. Turn that music down, Ken. We're not doing a radio show here.
Hmm.
Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew in Los Angeles. Me, I'm in Las Vegas tonight. Yeah. Drew?
Nice. I'm here in Los Angeles.
There you go, buddy. Yeah. That's why you get the big bucks for parroting back what I just said.
That's right.
Where are you, Drew?
I'm in Los Angeles.
That's
trying to read
right.
your mind on what you're handing off to me, so...
And where are you going to be on Monday?
I'm going to be in New York City, and I'm doing Good Morning America. And I'm looking for kids, you know, young adults, adolescents in that area that have experience using dextromethorphan, robo-tripping, or quercetin, and would be willing maybe to come on Good Morning America and talk about their experience. If you fit that profile, give us a call here at Loveline at 1-800-LOVE-191 and give us your phone number, whatnot, and I will hand it over to ABC News, and I'll see you on Monday.
When does adolescence begin, Drew?
About
11?
13, 12.
13?
There's sort of a pre-adolescent period now, too. It's what my kids are in. It's lovely.
But then you're an adolescent through your teen. You're not an adolescent at 19, though.
Yeah, you're sort of young adult then.
So adolescent is like 12 to...
18. 12 to 18.
18?
Yeah.
All right.
All right, good times. See, any more questions about the cadavers?
No, I still find it interesting. I mean, one of the questions I'd have is shouldn't you get a male and female cadaver since there are some different parts?
Yes, and as I recall, we sort of shared around when we got to that part of the body. We teamed up. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you didn't have any problem with the sawing into people?
No. Well, I was a little flipped out, like I said, when it started, and then we got to the hands and the face. But you get over pretty quick. I mean, you're trying
to
survive.
And how old was your cadaver?
He wasn't that old. He must have been about 65, 70, in that range.
Well, most of them are old, but
most of them
are there
old
any?
Ladies. There were a lot of very old ladies.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Bad times.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I guess I'd have to have a couple of beers. I think I could still do it. And then what about... younger people, like, do they allow 25-year-old cadavers?
I imagine they do, but didn't have any of those.
None of those?
Yeah.
And then when you're done, that cadaver's done.
Oh, it's just a mess, yeah.
And they just...
The knuckle left.
It just looks like the fly at the end, right?
Yeah.
Jeff Goldblum got transported back
it
or
looks
something,
like,
just a
looks,
blob of mucus.
Yeah, it looks like pastrami or something. Like
and they incinerate it at
guess,
that point?
I imagine, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, things to look into.
That's good times. I don't know why, you know, why we're having this discussion. I was telling Ann tonight how much I like that show Scrubs and how it takes me back to that whole time, you know, being in the hospital. Now you're taking me back further, talking about medical school and anatomy labs and things.
Mm-hmm.
This is awesome.
One day when they make a hour-long drama about guys who clean carpet, perhaps I can share some of those feelings.
Yeah, you'll relate.
Awesome. Shag. This week on Shag, one of the Latino guys runs out of Polycon, so he has to substitute Soil Bust. Look out, this week on Shag. Oh, the star Adam Carolla breaks one of the retrieval wands. Now he's got to clean the whole colony kitchen without. See what happens on this week's Shag. On a very special Shag. It's Adam's turn to drain the solution tank. Hijinks ensue as he tries to dump it in the sink of the colony kitchen. This week on Shag.
Watch as he takes over and commands the stove at the Hamburger Hamlet.
Oh, yeah. The only good part about cleaning carpets was firing up that stove at the Hamburger Hamlet.
Austin is 20.
Hello.
Hey.
How you guys doing?
We're good.
Good.
All right. My car's been, I've been dating a stripper now kind of for about 3 weeks. I wouldn't even call it really dating yet, but whatever. Anyways.
You've been paying her and she's
Just banging. Okay. Just banging, I think. Anyways, my question was, our first time to have sex, I actually double wrapped it, wore two condoms because I didn't know.
No, you didn't.
No,
you can't even really put on two.
I added about half an inch, I swear to God. But
two condoms are actually more likely to break than one.
Really? This guy's a jack-off.
I think she has herpes or something because, I had bumps, for 2 days, and then they went away.
Bumps.
No. True. The following day after we had sex, I don't know if I had herpes works like that.
This is bogus.
No, it's not. It's really not.
You had bumps 2 days after you had sex?
No, the day after. And they lasted for about 3 days.
And where were they?
They were right near the base. Like right where the pubic hairline stops on the penis.
And they didn't hurt?
No, they did hurt.
They did hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what's the question?
I didn't know if that was herpes or if I'd need to go have that tested to make sure it was.
Well, you missed your window. You've healed up. There's nothing to look at now, so it's really hard to make that diagnosis. If they come back, it's most likely herpes, and have somebody look at it at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Smelled bogus to me.
All right. This is Giselle, 18. Giselle?
Yeah, hi.
Hi, what's happening?
The thing is that when I was 14, I had problems sleeping. And I started taking sleeping pills without prescription.
Without prescription?
Yes. The thing is that I'm from Peru, so there were places that you could get pills without prescription. And
country.
5 milligrams. So
you took what? I'm sorry?
I started with 5 milligrams. And
of what? Of what?
Like 35.
Of what?
I think it was diazepam.
Valium. So that's just Valium.
Diazepam is Valium?
Yeah.
Gotta get some of that.
Well, the thing is that even though I was taking, 35 milligrams, it didn't do anything. And I stopped doing that for, a year ago, but now I have memory loss problems. I forget things really easily. If somebody called me, I don't remember that. And my parents think I'm smoking pot, but I'm not.
That's a good impulse on your parents' part. But are you taking anything, drinking, or any other drugs?
No, nothing at all.
No other medication?
No. I mean, at the time I did, I had, sort of an overdose of a medication I was taking. I think it was called Haldol, something like that.
Haldol?
Yeah.
Do you have schizophrenia?
I don't know. I mean, I was going through therapy. My psychiatrist told me to drink that. And a couple of times I overdosed on that, and I had to go to the hospital to get cleaned out.
Is this your Peruvian psychiatrist?
Yeah.
Oh, they have those there, huh?
Why?
I don't know. Now, I mean, your English is pretty good. How long have you been out here?
Thanks a lot. Just a year. I came here December last year.
The irony is she lives in New Jersey.
Really? New Jersey. Same place.
Yeah.
Same winters.
How did you come from Peru to New Jersey? What happened?
Well, my dad came here 7 years ago, so he brought me here to study. So here I am.
I see. Well, listen, the chronic use, I don't, it's an interesting question whether chronic use of a drug like Valium can cause permanent memory problems. It doesn't do it typically in adults, but I don't know if it can affect memory and development. I would think there's a possibility of it, but 35 milligrams a day of Valium is a serious habit, and it's going to have sort of triggered some stuff in your brain for sure. Are you finding yourself sort of looking towards thrill-seeking activities or using other drugs, anything like that?
No, I'm not using anything at all. Not I don't even drink Advil, you know, because of what happened to me with the pills and overdoses. I don't want to drink anything anymore.
Okay. All right. That's
when you say drink, you mean take, right?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Oh, it's okay. It's all right. Just want to make sure there wasn't a liquid form of Advil.
Right.
Where's Peru? In Central America?
South America.
Is that South America?
South America, yeah. Where did you just came from?
Yeah. I wish I could make fun of them, but I really don't know enough about them. You're lucky.
Yeah. So
the thing is that, you know, it really bothers me because my dad doesn't trust me anymore because I've been taking, like, pills and stuff like that. So he's like, you're smoking pot.
Why don't you get under the care of a psychiatrist again out here who can be the one responsible for watching you? And, the parents won't be coming down on you so hard if they know you're being supervised and treated. You know what I'm saying?
Well, my mom was taking them, too.
Yeah, well, you got that sort of gene that predisposes you towards seeking drugs. You got it from somewhere.
And what about the Peruvians? Are they got some Indian in them?
Sure.
We do.
Yeah.
Yeah, so maybe you got a little predisposition going for you there.
Could be.
You think so?
No, something going
actually,
on.
Actually, the Incas used to take, like, herbs, you know, like, it wasn't exactly weed, but it was some other kind of herbs that they would take and smoke.
Yeah, but they did it as part of sort of spiritual rituals, and they didn't get into the sort of compulsive use. And, you know, you've been taking Haldol, which is a major, major medication. So there's a lot of stuff. Did you ever do much speed?
No.
Ecstasy?
No.
Because those drugs are associated with memory problems.
But I didn't do that because I wanted to. I was supposed to take, like, 2 drops per day.
Of what?
But of that Haldol.
Yeah, yeah.
But I didn't. So one day I was, like, in a bad mood, and I just drank the whole bottle, and they had to take me to the hospital and all that.
Wow.
I've done that like 2 times, but...
Well, this is serious stuff, and you got to get back under some care and some supervision and make sure that you know, some proper assessment. You're not someone that can be without mental health care right now. You've almost died twice. It's as serious as any other life-threatening illness.
You know, really, I'm just starting to think, really what I know about the Incas, I've learned from airbrushing on the side of vans. That's as much as I know. I picture a guy in a loincloth, and he's holding a hot chick up above his head, and he's about to throw her in a volcano.
That's it. That's Incas.
Is that about it?
That's
is that
it.
Some of
that's
the culture?
That's the entire culture. Jessica, 19.
Yeah. Okay, this is kind of the situation. The other day, I kind of, you know, had like a fifth too much of raspberry vodka, and my boyfriend had always been encouraging me to, like, you know, guys think it's kinky when two girls are, like, intimate or whatever. So,
but that's with him there.
Well, like, yeah, well, videos and stuff like that.
What?
Videos.
Oh, I see. So he liked lesbians
there.
In videos, all right?
Because he wasn't there. I was hanging out with some of my girlfriends, and we both kind of got sloshed and, you know, got a little freaky. And then I told him the next day because I, you know, we kind of keep everything really open. And he thought it was cool. At first, he was like, whoa, cool, kinky, whatever. And then, like now, he's all like, he gets like kind of mad and jealous when I even go hang out with her. And he says he's not cool with anyone.
Well, that is the way guys work too, is that they stew. It's like a burger, like a crock pot. Oh, that's cool. That no problem. No problem.
Whoa. Did you videotape this?
Oh, well, we took some pictures.
You did?
Yeah.
Did you show the guy the pictures?
Yeah, and, you know, he thought they were cool at first, but now
that was the point, Adam, that he was cool with it.
He didn't want me to hang out with her at all.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, but we
and what did you
like,
what did you do with her? Did you do everything with her?
well, we kind of, I mean, we were, like, all naked and stuff, you know, like the 69 thing.
Yeah, that's about
that's
everything.
About everything. There's no penis involved, so what the hell?
Yeah, sweet. And you showed him how'd you take pictures of that, by the way? 69,
well,
just hold the arm out?
There's another girl there. But
oh, really? And the other girl was doing the photography?
Yeah, she was just... Because, I mean, I don't think either one of us could have taken pictures. I mean, even pointed them straight.
I don't know. Why is it?
You could find each other's vaginas, no problem.
Why is this?
I mean, with your mouth.
Why does this?
You know what, I mean? What, Drew?
It feels not just chaotic, but like very high levels of denial here. You know what I mean? Like there's no Jessica there. Like, how could he be jealous? How could that happen? I don't understand.
Yeah.
It's like you're devoid of feeling. It's amazing.
He just gets, I mean, he doesn't, like, even want to talk about it anymore, and now he's all like, don't go hang out with her. And, I mean, we just put it behind us as, like, one of the weird-ass experiences that happen if you get too drunk, but...
Well...
So we still hang out, but...
Where are the pictures? Where are the pictures?
I burned them, because she
got... Oh, you burned them?
She got what?
Huh? Or she got mad that you were showing them to your boyfriend?
No, she didn't get mad. He liked him at first, and now he's like, no, I don't like it at all. Get rid of it. Whatever, so...
So you burned him, huh?
Yeah,
I'd be. You know what? I'd be like,
I want anyone else. To
I'd see. Be like, give me those pictures. I'm gonna flush them down the toilet, and then it's like 10 minutes later. I come walking out of the bathroom with a little sweat on the brown. It's like, did you flush them? I didn't hear the toilet flush, huh?
Yeah, huh? What? Yeah.
Weren't you gonna flush them? What are you talking about? Oh Christ! Oh yeah! Oh those!
Oh, they're gone.
Don't worry about those. I'll take care of those later. All right. Listen. I don't know. Jessica just sounds like she's got that sort of 19-year-old. Ditzy kind of party thing going, and
yeah,
but no boundaries.
Don't get pregnant. Okay, no boundaries. But
I don't know. I got don't get depo going on.
You got what?
Good depo.
Depo.
All right.
Good girl. Yeah, you're not gonna marry this guy, so don't worry about him.
Right. Exactly.
Well, I don't know.
No. What's the guy do? What does he do? So, like, he's something with stereos.
No, he's an aspiring mechanic.
Oh yeah. But now he's installing stereos into cars.
That's right? A lofty goal.
Yeah, it's tough to aspire to that, isn't it? That's something to aspire to?
Well, I remember when I was in the third grade, I wanted to either be an astronaut or a mechanic. But, you know, my parents said mechanics, that was just for the blue bloods. We couldn't afford all the college, all the years, all the dedication. I just didn't have the grades to make mechanics, so I had to drop that dream.
Good times. Here's Daisy. I don't know if I buy this one. Daisy, 28.
Hi.
Hi.
I am a teacher. Yeah. I teach high school.
Yeah.
And I've never, ever been attracted to my students at all. But recently, I've started, the last couple of guys that I've been with, that I've slept with, have been like 19, 20, 21 years old.
Yeah.
And it kind of worried me. I don't know why my attraction completely changed. I've always been attracted to older men. And my last boyfriend was 38. And I totally thought I was going to marry him, and it was really serious, and he just kind of freaked out and ended it really quick.
Daisy, what sometimes happens when women, not usually older than you, not in their 20s, but women in their 30s and 40s, when they've been in a long relationship where they get abandoned, where they get screwed over, they'll go on sort of a, not really a tear, yeah. With younger guys. Boys, just boy toys. Just guys become just objects just to hang around with and play.
Yeah, you don't want
to
get emotionally attached and get your heart broken again.
And the younger ones, they're not even relationships. You can't really be with a younger guy. Their head's not in the right place. They're not where you are. So you just kind of go do your thing. And it's more of an escape. It's using relationships sort of like a drug almost.
So what do you... I'll just get over?
Usually, but you got to really... deal with.
I guess the reason why it really worries me is because I'm around 17, 18 year old guys all day that I teach, and I just don't know. I guess it could be kind of destructive because.
What do you teach? What subject?
English.
You do?
Yeah.
In a public school?
Yes. Yeah.
You do? Drew, ask her a literary question.
Who wrote Wuthering Heights?
Emily Dickinson.
Oh, no, not quite.
Oh, Emily.
Thank you.
All right. She's back. Drew, is she right?
She's fine. She's good. She's good.
Who wrote Hop on Pop? It's the only thing I know.
Dr. Seuss.
Okay. You looked down on that.
But Daisy, I don't get the sense that you're going to act out in destructive ways or you're going to violate boundaries. I mean, you know where the boundaries are. You're kind of getting near uncomfortable boundaries, and you've got to watch yourself. And maybe really the issue here is to look at what's most troubling to you, which is the pain of this abandonment and the pain and the grief of this relationship. And actually go ahead and feel the feelings about the loss, and then you won't be as apt to do these things, which are just attempts at avoiding those feelings.
Okay. Are you hot?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean...
Because the guys are hot for you, right?
They hit on me a lot.
They do.
I always get like... asked to prom and homecoming. And
do you ever you notice these guys like with erections and homeroom and stuff?
Oh, cause, God, yes.
You do, right?
Yes.
Because like 16-17-year-old guys at 9:20 in the morning.
I ask them to stand up to recite something, or they can't. They're like, no, I can't. I can't.
Why do you make them do that then? There should be some kind of teachers should understand and sort of have some alternative means to, you know, avoid humiliating these kids.
Oh,
and the boner is always strongest in homeroom.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not strong at 7:45 in the morning, but it comes on like gangbusters about 9:15, 9:20. It's like the penis wakes up like an hour and a half after you do.
Yeah.
Like, you wake up with the boner, you take the leak, and now the boner is hibernating. But then, like, an hour and a half later, the boner's like...
You know why, though? Because you kind
ready
of...
to go.
Around 9:30, you're going back towards sleep again. You get a little drowsy, a little bored, right? Mid-morning.
Yep.
And that's when all that sleep mechanism kicks in, and yep, game on.
See, I don't know these things. So, you know, when I... ask them to sign up, and they say, can't. I don't under, like, for at first, I was like, well, why? And then everyone, I kind of start giggling, and I'm like, okay, never mind. You can stay seated.
Really? You ever masturbate thinking about the guys?
No. My students, no. They don't, they're so ignorant that it doesn't attract me at all. But for some reason, like, these guys that I don't know, and a lot of time I didn't even know until afterwards, like, I'll find out a couple days later or the next day or whatever that they just graduated like a year ago, which kind of freaks me out because it's, I don't know.
Daisy, Daisy, look into this. Get a handle on your integrity a little bit here, and realize it's you're avoiding the grief with the loss of this relationship, and maybe look more carefully at what this relationship meant to you and why you were with a guy that would do this to you in the first place, and kind of look at the big picture.
Okay.
I got in one of my teacher's pants once.
You did not.
Yeah, in high school. Well, it was like 2 years after I graduated high school.
What was his name?
Mr. Gregory.
Yeah.
He was hot. He failed me out of driver's ed, but I let bygones be bygones and then took him out with a good vengeance effing.
That's good.
I'm not a gay man, but if I could have found Mr. Gregory who failed me from driver's ed, I would have given him just a good sodomizing.
I'm sure of that.
Well, it's, driver's ed. Yeah. Driver's ed, Drew. Do you understand that?
Yeah.
You understand what it's like to fail out of driver's ed?
Having heard the story 40,000 times, I've begun to feel it, yes.
Not even behind the wheel of a vehicle yet, and you fail driver's ed? And then you fail, and you get all pushed back. Now you're screwed up. You can't take driver's training when you're supposed to take driver's training. You have to go, like, take it privately in some little S-box in Van Nuys over the whole summer with other losers.
Oh, yeah. Good times.
God damn. What happened to my life? Why was I being punished?
I know, but it was punishing.
Someone was punishing me, Drew. I'm convinced of this.
Yes, well, you're an atheist, so who would that someone have been?
My parents.
Yeah.
Really? Set it up. Two guys taught driver's ed. One, Mr. Gregory, the biggest prick in North Hollywood who hated everybody. And the other guy was the assistant coach from the football team who was in love with me. Who did I get? Mr. Gregory. Big fat F.
Good fantastic.
I may kill myself during the break, Drew.
Let me just quickly again say I'm looking for people to come on Good Morning America who live in the New York, Manhattan area. Monday morning, we did a Good Morning America story on robo-tripping, on the use of dextromethorphan. If anybody's had experience with that drug and was willing to talk about it on television, please call us here, 1-800-LOVE-191, and we will set that up.
And I'm starting a support group for people who have failed from driver's ed for Mr. Gregory. We'll be meeting in the North Hollywood Y at 10 a.m. on Monday. Bring cocoa, cookies, donuts, other snacks like that. There will be coffee served. I'm going to get up and share for the first 4 hours, and then you each have about 15 seconds to say your piece. All right?
This will be that.
All right. We'll be back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That is Dr. Drew. I'm in Las Vegas tonight. Drew is in Los Angeles. And we're taking your calls at 1-800-LOVE-191.
Here we go. This is Jessica, 24.
Jessica?
Yes?
What's going on?
I just want to say you guys are awesome. And also, I'm calling because I had sex with a guy that I don't know if I want to be my boyfriend.
That's never happened before.
Yeah. We had sex. He used a condom. And the next day, there was a funk. Just, I had never experienced it before. I just had experienced chicks that had funks before and had to talk to them about it. And now I'm the one with the funk, and I would not
stop a second. You've experienced girls with the funk?
Well, I
talk to them. She talked to them.
No, she said, I've experienced it. I had to talk to them.
Yes.
Oh.
Like, they had funk, and I had to talk to them because
You mean like friends that you could notice just
people on the bus?
Yeah.
What?
No, I don't walk up to strangers and be like, you're nasty. No, I have had friends that had, problems, and I'd never experienced it before.
Well, hold on a second. Were you having sex with your friends?
No.
How were you exposed to this?
Because if you walk up to somebody that has a significant smell, you can smell it through the clothes.
Adam, have you ever had that experience?
Me, I have with my... No, but now I do.
All right, quiet down. So not all about you, baby.
So I'm wondering...
Me? Yes. But you put her on hold.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Okay.
Chatty Cathy over there. I've had this with my own sack.
No, forget your sack. Have you ever walked up to a woman and thought, got to talk to her about this? Walked up to through her clothing.
Yes.
Okay.
And but not had a discussion with her, but I've
noticed it. All right.
Well, it's hard to distinguish sometimes from sort of sweet BO.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, they're very different. It's like opening a can of bad tuna.
Right.
What did you say to your friends, by the way? How did you breach this?
How are you doing? Are you doing okay? I mean, what's going on? You do kind of smell.
You do kind of smell. That's nice. Very delicate. Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of cold today. You smell.
No, I don't blurt it out like that, but I kind of pull them aside and say, your female smell is kind of kicking today.
That's bold. You know? That's kind of nice. I mean, it's very caring and
it's refreshing.
Yeah, refreshing. Very direct.
Well, you know what though? I would want to know if I could. Yeah. I mean, I could tell myself, but if I couldn't tell that I smelt like some nasty fish.
Do you have some nasty fish? Do you have a sort of superhuman olfactory sense? Do you smell things acutely more than normal people?
No.
Because women already have it's one of God's great jokes on humanity, is women have much more acute sense of smell than men.
Well, okay. Maybe I'm super nose.
All right, be that as may. So you want to know what? What's your question?
I'm wondering if it was the condom that was used or maybe our chemistries just did not get along.
Well, your chemistries really weren't exposed to each other, right? Because he wore a condom.
Well, but I spoke to my doctor, and she was like, well, sometimes chemistries mix. And I'm like, well, that's what I told her. I said I was wearing a condom, so.
There's no mixing when you're wearing a condom. Really.
Okay.
So it's probably the condom or the lubricant, whatever was on there. Or maybe you had an infection and didn't know it. And this
that's the thing is I'm constantly checked, and I'm totally fine before that happened. And then the next day it was like,
But Drew, isn't the vagina like a snow globe that gets shaken up during sex?
Yes. You put
stuff starts flying around
and the
in
wrong
there.
Stuff goes in and something grows. And did you take some Metrogel cream or something like that afterwards?
No, to be honest with you, I douched for the first time in my life, and that was an experience all in itself.
And that took care of
it? How was that?
It was disgusting.
The douche.
I've never had to use anything like that before, so now, now I don't smell like fish, but now I smell like vinegar, and both smells to me are just disgusting.
Did this all happen tonight?
No, this happened a couple weeks ago, but I'm still not back to myself. Actually a month and a half ago.
Again, bacterial overgrowth is the most common cause of this sort of thing. And so there's some creams you can use, Metrogel cream, gonolotrim.
Metrogel?
Yeah.
Okay. You put the vinegar on top of the fish odor, and you got fish and chips at this point. I really thought about that. So I do like to shake some vinegar on that deep fried cod.
Yeah. Oh, I'm getting hungry.
Yeah, it's nice.
And look, she's down there by Fisherman's Wharf. That's where she lives. Right?
No.
Oh.
I don't live in the city.
Oh.
All right, and the douche, did you use the traditional douche bottle, or, I mean, the one you hang up on the bathroom door, or did you use the
douche bag.
Sort of handheld one? Douche. That's the douche bag.
She had to have a douche nozzle then, right?
No, it wasn't an enema. It was a douche. It just comes in, like, a little bottle.
Yeah, but back in the day, they had douche bags. Yes, what? Drew?
Why do we waste all our time calling our jack-off friends douche bags if there's no such thing as a douche bag?
Yes, of course.
And besides, Adam wants to coin a new phrase.
Douche nozzle.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Much more meaty.
Politically correct?
No, just more to the point, so to speak.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's like, here's how I'll put it in a couple sentences. You're driving your car, guy's not turning right, the signal's been green for a while. Let's go, douche nozzle, I don't got all day. Yeah, or you say better. Something like... I was sitting in the bar just minding my own business. A couple of douche nozzles come walking in. They want to start up with me.
Yeah. 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 Much more offensive. It's more aggressive.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. Well, listen, Jessica, it probably, again, a bacterial overgrowth, a bacterial vaginosis, that's called. And douche is probably not going to take care of it. That's why you're not back to normal yet. You might try Metrogel cream or guided lotion, something like that. Here is now Amanda, who's 19.
Hello?
Hi there.
Hi. Okay, you guys always talk about how you can tell when someone's been abused some way.
Yeah.
And I was just wondering if someone's been abused, does that always mean that they're messed up?
It always has an effect. It doesn't have to mean you're imprisoned by it. It doesn't mean you're going to be an abuser. It tends to affect how you relate to other people.
Well, especially in your relationships with the opposite sex.
Yeah.
Or your intimate relationships with the same sex.
Your attractions, that kind of thing. Why? What's,
and it also depends what the abuse is and what you've done about
it. And how old you were and what you've done about it, exactly.
Okay.
What happened?
I guess, well,
Did you not think we were going to ask, Amanda?
Well, I wasn't sure. I thought maybe you might just, like, give me the answer. Let me go.
No.
When have we ever done that, huh?
No. Well, I guess I don't, like, when I was 9, my friend's older brother, you know.
No, I don't know. What did he do?
Adam?
Did he just touch you, or did he have sex with you, or what happened?
Yes. Oh, no. No sex.
No
just,
sex.
Just,
Fondled you.
The touching.
Okay.
And...
Well, there goes her
phone. How old was he at the time?
Oh, he was maybe a year or two older.
So he was like 10?
Yeah.
When you were 9. And did that happen multiple times?
Yeah, it happened over a course of 2 years.
How many times did it happen?
Oh, I don't even know.
Five times? 50 times?
No, I'd say probably in the 20s.
Well, yeah, it's got to start with a 5, Amanda. Yeah. Sorry.
Were you
55, 500?
Were you physically abused before that? Did someone? Is there any reason you sort of froze? Let this guy do this?
No. Well, no physical.
Were you emotionally abused or abandoned or anything else that sort of made you have difficulty?
Well, I didn't. My dad wasn't around when I starting at 7, but I
what was
know.
He like before he left?
My dad?
Yeah.
He was a drug addict.
All right. Well, there you go.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. So, and is this affecting you now in your relationships?
I don't know. I mean, there's been a lot of things that happened after that too to affect things.
Like what?
I had a very verbally abusive stepdad.
All right, yeah, so there's a lot of all stuff right. going on here.
Here's the deal, Amanda. What this guy did to you is going to have some effect on you, but probably not as great as the effect of having the drug addict father
who
was around until you were 7 and then abandoned you, and then he slid in and then enter abusive or verbally abusive stepdad.
Yeah, absolutely. I see that.
That's all going to be worse than this.
Right. What went on with the pal's brother, whoever it was, that was really just because you'd been a victim already, and so you froze when this guy started coming at you. But that probably wasn't as bad as the feelings of victimization that went on before that, and then again after with the abusive stepfather.
When you see your mom, give her a nice kick in the labia for me for bringing home the drug addict the first time around and then the verbally abusive guy the second time around.
Yeah, she actually left both.
Yeah, after you got
a dose
T-boned.
Yeah.
Like a pinto sitting in an intersection. I don't mean sexually, but I just mean, you know, you got your space frame tweaked and then these guys left. I mean, that's great, but you're sort of left with the residual effects of that.
Right.
I'm just saying, don't be too nice to your mom.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Even though someone probably abused her.
Of course.
Before she got to these guys.
Of course.
Right.
There you go.
And she's probably an addict, too. I'm sorry.
Someone abused your mom?
Hey. Yeah, actually.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
Okay. Shocking, Drew. You're like Nostradamus.
Karnak, how did you know?
We're all individuals, Drew. Each case has to be taken as a separate individual case.
How dare you generalize to suggest any human would behave as like any other?
We're all different. We're all created. We're all special in God's eyes. You can never tell. We're all individuals, Drew.
How many polar bear would you have to study to figure out the behavior of polar bears?
10.
And be able to predict the future of polar bear behavior.
Every polar bear in the world?
Yes.
10.
Yes, thank you. Thank you.
Okay.
At least so in humans, you have to. Yeah, people we have studied.
For teenagers, you need like 30.
Yeah.
Okay, 300. What's up? You want to take a break?
I do.
You're tired from being right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it's taxing, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's sort of. I want to just sit back and take it in. Yeah.
Okay.
What it's like to be right all the time.
You bend over and take yourself in, Drew.
Thank you. I'll think of you.
I'm going to go number one, and we'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. Forget about the phone number. We don't need your goddamn calls.
No, I need those GMA calls from New York.
Good Keep morning, going. America.
Right.
All right.
Damn,
1-800-LOVE-191.
Been just game on with the eating. Oh, my God.
You have been.
I'm still eating the brownies from last night and the chocolate bars.
Yeah. You know what it is? It's, I know I'm not the first guy to touch on this, but it's definitely the holidays, and it's definitely the sort of cyclical nature of food.
Wow.
Which is, it's either game on or you're not, you don't seem to be hungry or you're hungry all the time. Oh. And then the other thing is it's wearing sweaters and sweatshirts and sweat jackets.
Yeah, maybe.
And it's not that, you're wearing a baggy sweater and you're hiding your spare tire that's around your waist. It's more like when you put a sweater on, you kind of want to fill it out. It almost feels better. It's like a football uniform.
It's true.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. you put on a pair of football pants and a jersey, and so you don't want to feel like it's sitting on top of you. You want to be in it.
That's true.
That's what I'm doing. Trying to fill out my sweaters and underpants.
Coming up now is, I think, the fourth Jessica we've had this evening. She's 23.
Hello.
Hi.
I had my question for you guys this evening was, after I had sex with my boyfriend, I typically feel like I have little cuts on the inside of my vagina.
Every time?
It's just been the last month.
Do you guys use condoms?
Yes.
Do you kind of go at it for a long time?
Oh, yeah.
How long?
We've been known to. Probably about an hour and a half.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah.
Wow.
You're just rubbing yourself raw.
We use a lubricant. And
yeah, you're just too much, though.
Too much.
Yeah. Okay.
Or
yeah, I mean, hour and a half.
Yeah, too much. Or this is herpes, because herpes really feels exactly like that. But you have another reason.
Would it come and go? I mean,
yeah.
It's typically after sex is when it hurts.
Well, the herpes
and
again
it
gets
goes away after a day.
Yeah, herpes will usually stick around for a while. But yeah, I can't say it isn't. But it's not the fact that you're doing it so vigorously for so long. I mean, you'd expect to have this kind of thing.
Jessica, you can't do the trauma math. He's been blasting the bejesus out of your coos for an hour and a half, and the next day you're a little sore.
Well, I understand, you know what I'm saying? That point, but I mean, it's always been that way, and it just recently started to hurt.
Hmm. Why don't you see, can this guy have an orgasm any faster than 90 minutes?
Oh, yeah.
I think he needs to do that.
I agree.
And can he spend a little more time giving you some oral sex?
Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah, as far as she's concerned, though.
It's okay for you?
Yeah.
It's okay for him, too?
Oh, yeah.
It's
fine.
There you go.
All right. And there's where you need to go.
It would be smart to have a doctor look at these, because herpes is a clinical diagnosis, and they have to see the sores when you got them. So be worthwhile. Mimi's 19.
Hello?
Mimi?
Hi.
Hi.
I'm obsessed with phone sex.
Phone sex?
Yeah, I'm extremely turned on by men's voices, like when I can't see them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Yeah. You know, the way your inflection works, Mimi, it seems like you're going to say something after you're done saying things.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's all right.
I'm kind of nervous.
All right, keep going. Okay. So you have phone sex frequently.
Yeah, I get on chat lines and stuff and meet people.
Do you get do it on the web, too?
Yeah.
You do get in chat rooms?
Yeah, and I meet people, and I do it, like, on a regular basis now.
How often?
It's been, like, 2 years, and I meet a lot of different people, and I do it.
Do you ever meet these guys in person?
Yeah. And sometimes I meet them in person.
And then what happens?
And usually we end up having sex.
Well,
do these guys, are most of these guys like the same age? About the same age?
Yeah.
And do they have?
Or sometimes a couple of years older than me.
And do they have the same rap, most of the guys?
No, most of the guys are usually like, I guess what some people would consider like losers.
Yeah. We're surprised.
And then, yeah, you hook up with them and you have sex, but they don't become your boyfriend.
No, I usually dodge them after that.
Yeah. Well, Mimi, this is sort of a common or increasingly common thing right these days, and it is the female form of internet sex addiction. That men spend a lot of time sort of masturbating to pictures and things, getting lost in this sort of dissociative state, looking at pictures and going through websites. Women spend all the time reading things and interacting and sort of spinning yarns and stories and often end up meeting these guys and are sort of abused by them.
Yeah, but it's the fact that the part that, like, turns me on the most is the men's voices, and I don't understand.
Well, mm-hmm.
Where's your dad?
Yeah, you were sexually abused, right?
No.
Come on.
Had to be. Maybe. No.
No.
Where's your dad anyway, though?
My dad's in a different city. He works in a different city.
He lives at home, though.
My dad's a preacher. He's a chaplain.
Ooh.
And he works in a different city. But he's back and forth. But that just started, you know. That just started about a year ago.
How old were you when you first had sex?
17.
Do you think you could reel this in a little bit if you wanted?
Could I what?
Reel it in, slow it down, contain it.
Yeah, you could? I've always been really sexual, even when I was little.
Like how old?
Like my first sexual dream, I was in third grade.
All right, and did you have an orgasm during that dream?
No.
It
wasn't really sexual. There was no sex in it, but...
Were you exposed to sexual material or anything?
No.
You never saw people having sex or anything like that?
No. Her dad's a preacher, so he had a lot of swank and jugs.
Well, listen, I'm just wondering. Something's going on here.
Usually in the bathroom by the toilet.
Something's going on.
Before my dad was a preacher, he used to get real drunk. Okay.
All right.
And he used to kind of abuse my mom.
Physically abuse her.
Yeah. Sometimes we'd have to leave the house and go stay with my grandpa.
All right, well, here we go.
Are almost all preachers just compensating for a horrible past? Like, this is not a rabbi move.
Yeah, I don't know.
This is a preacher move.
Yeah, he's different. He's changed a lot. He's a really good man now, but back then he wasn't.
Yeah. And he's like three beers away from being right back where he was, so...
No, he's been sober for like 10 years.
All right, but it's left an imprint on you. And do you think maybe you saw some weird sexual stuff too somewhere? Did some kid maybe expose you to something? Another kid?
Well, when I was, like, really small, like, my adopted brother, he showed me his penis
once. Okay, all right. So we're getting closer.
Yeah, we're moving that down that road. Okay.
Right. So you were physically, there's violence, abuse, chaos, and I would bet you're going to think someday of some sexual abuse that went on in the home. And that's kind of a recipe for this sort of thing. It's literally you go into kind of a dissociated state, the state you used to go into when you were a little girl and so scared when your dad was going crazy.
Yes, when my dad used to drink and I'd come home from school, because he'd go through, like, certain periods where he would drink, like he'd start drinking, then he'd stop.
I know, but
when I'd come home from school, I can always tell if he was drinking because I could smell beer through the whole house.
But the fact, the feeling you would, the state you would get into, well, God only knows why our brains are wired this way, but that dissociative, horrible, terrorized state you would get into somehow now becomes a source of gratification and attraction and repetition in your adult life. And that's what you're acting on now. And it's hard. This kind of thing needs treatment, I'm telling you. You need to see something about this. Yeah.
You know, at the beginning of the porn movies I watch frequently, they have the phone sex numbers.
Yeah.
And they got these hot chicks.
Yeah.
And they're usually like blowing a guy, but they're talking to you.
Nice.
And they're like, they're blowing the guy, and then they're pulling the guy's dork out, and they're like, ooh, I'm so hot. I'm so hot for you. Why don't you call me? And I'm thinking, you're blowing this dude. I was going to call you, bitch, but who's this guy? You're hot for me. You got some guy's dork in your mouth. What do you mean you're hot for me? I thought we had something. Oh, and then the next scene, she's on top of the guy, and she's having intercourse with the guy, and she's going, I want you, I want you. And I'm like, who's this guy you're effing? What about him? And can he hear you? He's got to be pissed. I don't know if this guy's your boyfriend or your husband. I don't know who this guy is, but I'm not coming over there and pulling his penis out of your mouth and inserting mine.
He might kill you.
This is an outrage. Yeah, this guy could be a biker. All right. Hey, Drew.
Yeah, Adam.
Yeah, wrap up for me, would you, buddy? I'm like a world famous surgeon who's just performed a miracle.
I'll close for you.
You're like my intern. You're like my nurse, and I'm like, yeah, close. Close for me.
I'll close. All right. But should I call you?
No. Oh. I got my buddy Matt here. We got to talk.
All right, good time.
All right, so Drew, I'll talk to you Sunday.
No, you see me Monday.
Whatever.
All right.
Good times.
All right. Well, here's my close for the master. I don't know what to say. I had to fulfill those big shoes. Oh, that's right. Is this end of the week? I want to thank Brian and Tara, don't call me Tara, goddamn, for doing a great job with the phones. I want to thank Lauren for producing the show. I want to help Ann for producing the show. I want to thank Ken for filling in for Anderson and for sliding those potentiometers, whatever the hell it is you do over there. I want to thank Andrew Anderson for being here all week and making the show sound great. And Ken for really gaining a little freedom tonight and sort of expressing himself. A couple drops came in tonight. It was good. I think Anderson will be proud of you. And again, this is Dr. Drew on behalf of Adam Carolla saying mahalo.
Okay, people, come.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Engel. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.